move to...
Mr. President?
Yeah.
I've got a special request. I wonder if it would be okay to move 1407 up because this is PBOT's change to its SDC methodology. We have a consultant here from Seattle who's worried about getting on the road given the weather.
Okay. That seems like a very good reason. So let's move to item 1407.
1407, authorize the Portland Bureau of Transportation to develop a transportation system development charge methodology based upon the person trip model to more accurately reflect Portland's transportation system.
Okay, are you going to explain this to us?
I am. Good morning. I'm Christine Leon from the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and with me today is Dr. Kelly Clifton from Portland State University, as well as Farron Pierce, consultant from Seattle, Kendra Breland. So thank you very much for moving this up to the morning agenda. She's got to get back before the snow. So this is a very exciting time for us. We're going to be updating our transportation system development charge and returning to council in 2017 to do that update. In the process of looking at our SDC, we realized that there are some things we want to advance on. And so we asked for a critique of our current system and hired Kelly to do that. One of the things that we want to advance on is how we quantify the trips made that are the basis for our transportation system development charge. We were one of the first in the country in 1997 when we put in place our SDC that actually have a person trip methodology, but it's through a series of gyrations starting with vehicular trips. So what this resolution is today is to open the door for the public comments on moving towards a pure person trip methodology as the basis for our system development charge. So we have a fairly quick presentation that Kelly, who is really one of the leading experts in the country with her work at TREC, is going to run through, and then Kendra Breland from Farron Pierce will wrap us up. So thank you.
Great. Kelly,
take it away. Thank you. So I've spent my 20-year academic career looking at the links between the transportation impacts of land development. And historically, the way that we have typically done this is focused on vehicular traffic impacts on adjacent facilities to new development. And the kinds of performance measures that we use have to do with vehicle delay or volume to capacity at the facility or intersection, and they focus on the peak hour of traffic. But as our cities are evolving, they're interested in more sustainable options. We're interested in multimodal options. We want more out of our transportation system. We want to plan for all modes. As mentioned earlier, we're looking at new performance measures. So California, for example, has moved to a vehicle miles travel reduction performance measure. We have a number of climate and air quality performance measures, health and safety, and so on. And these traditional methods aren't capable of examining these kinds of performance. We're starting to collect new data, not just here in Portland, but around the country. And this historic practice, we're just starting to realize how limited it is to serve our needs. And then there's research by my team at Portland State, but also, again, around the country. So Portland is renowned for its planning, as also the region and the state are also well known for its transportation planning tools and models. But one of the issues here is that we don't have consistency often across scale. So the plans may be consistent, but the various tools and methodology could be improved to speak to one another and inform one another in ways that they haven't done historically. One of the goals here, of course, is to put people first. So our traditional methodologies start looking at vehicle trips. We want to start looking at people, putting people at the center of our analysis. So people generate trips, not land uses. People make trips, not necessarily just cars. We have about 30 years of research looking at the impacts of the built environment on people's travel choices, and none of this academic research has made its way into the current methods for looking at transportation impacts. Again, we want to consider all modes. So the current methodologies were set aside or were developed some years ago, again, to think about cars in a more suburban context. But those methods have contributed to the marginalization of other modes over time. When we're just planning for cars, then we only have a system that accommodates cars. As you know, Portland has been progressive in thinking about its multimodal transportation system, and we need to have our methods be commensurate with our plans and goals. I was here earlier for some of the EV discussions and talking about new modes coming on deck, so electric vehicles, autonomous vehicles. We don't know exactly what the future holds, but there's going to be new options that we haven't seen before, and we need to have methods that give us the flexibility to account for and plan for them. We need to be able to evaluate these performance goals, and we also need to be able to fund our infrastructure. So one way that we can think about changing practice is shifting from this model that looks at just vehicle trips to starting with person trips. It's a good starting point, one, because we can start to think about then how all those person trips or how people travel get distributed then across new modes and different places in our city, and we can make adjustments to those person trips as we collect new data. From these person trip perspective, we can start to think about developing new tools. Our regional travel models start with person trips, so it would make sense then if we look at local site development impacts, we also start with person trips. So again, that gives us the option to start thinking about how we go from the site to the neighborhood, to the city, to the region, and back down again. So many cities, universities, states are starting to think along these lines, so it's not just me at Portland State. San Francisco, New York, Washington, D.C. are making concerted efforts to collect new data and develop these new methodologies. California, because of their strong climate agenda, is also thinking about person trips and has invested in a number of studies, some of which I'm involved in around affordable housing and transportation impacts, and also relates to some of the discussions that you all have entertained earlier today. And then our research here at Portland State. So the National Institute for Transportation and Communities has funded a number of studies, some of which the work that I've done here in Portland, but also in other places, looking at these issues. The Institute of Transportation Engineers, which hasn't historically been a fast actor in this area, is now starting to respond. So thanks again to the efforts at Portland State and others. We're poking them in the ribs and getting them to start thinking this way. So person trips is going to be included in their next edition of recommended practice in their trip generation handbook, finally. So we have a number of opportunities here in Portland. We can again continue our trajectory of being a leader in this area, transforming the way we have assessed, are assessing our impacts of new development. We can start to then start to think about differential impacts on different modes and how we can encourage different modal distribution instead of following a historic trend. We have a better ability to plan for what we would like.
Well, thank you, Kelly. So again, I'm here from Farron Peers, and we are assisting the city to update its transportation SDC program. And, you know, something that we're really excited about with Portland is that Portland has had a person trip program actually since 1997. However, since the last time that the SDC program was updated, Dr. Clifton's team and lots of academics and lots of cities around the country have really started improving the methodologies and how we structure these programs. So we see a real opportunity here to update the SDC program's methodologies to be more in line with person trips and to kind of work through the methodologies to have to set up the program so that it's really truly embodying Portland's values. So, you know, what we're recommending here is that we are, instead of, you know, where possible, we're incorporating the new person trip survey data that's available. Where that's not available, we have some approaches which we've used for a long time, using existing vehicle trip data and ITE data to kind of get it into person trips. But as a part of this program, it's a commitment to start developing more person trip data collection in Portland such that we can update and improve the program over time. So, you know, why do this? So person trips, I think, you know, the one thing that we risk with a person trip program that is a risk is thinking that all person trips have the same impact. And you know, as you can see on the screen here, no, they don't. This is an image of the same number of people being carried in SOVs versus the same number of people in a bus. So we definitely, as we structure this program, we want to make sure that we're being fair and we're recognizing that not all person trips have the same impact. We have an approach moving forward for this. We're very fortunate here in this region that the Oregon Household Travel Survey provides really good data set around person trips that are occurring. And so as we're structuring this program, something that we're going to be looking at is how does the mode share of person trips vary in different parts of the city? Certainly in downtown, where you've got a lot of transit availability, you've got a lot of ped and bike infrastructure, the mode share is going to be a little different than other parts of the city. So we're currently looking into Oregon Household Travel Survey data to understand what is the mode share and how is it different maybe in downtown versus your centers and corridors and some of those unique geographies that you've recognized within your comprehensive plan. And so, you know, just kind of where we are in this process, and I'm going to pass it back over to Christine, but there's a lot of other things going on with this project. First and foremost, outreach, really important, really critical to the city. We've got an online open house, and there are other outreach mechanisms going on to talk about what types of projects do we want to fund as a part of this. How does this, you know, change in SDC methodologies impact different groups? And that's something the city is really, really interested in. We are looking, of course, at projects. What types of projects do we want to fund moving forward? How does that align with Portland's values? And then, again, the commitment to improving methodologies to make sure we have the optimal outcomes in terms of recognizing impacts appropriately and making sure that this system is truly kind of forwarding your values. So, that.
Thank you. So, next steps, we have gotten some public input from the experts that deal with these transportation impacts. Kittleson, David Evans associate, actually I'll name them all, DKS, McKenzie, Lancaster, and Global Transportation Engineering. So they have been giving us some advice on this shift. We will continue to work on this. The resolution asks that we return to council next year to give an update on the person trip methodology. But this is a pretty exciting shift for the country and for Portland to be leaders in this. So, and I think there's low risk to us to get this methodology in place as the foundation. And again, we can tie this all back to the different planning methods that we do here in Portland and the different targets that the City Council as well as Metro have adopted for climate change and growth and reducing the vehicle miles traveled in SOV. So this is pretty exciting. So thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you all. Questions?
Feel the expertise.
Yeah, great expertise. Thank you very much. Anything else for the team?
And I just wanted to say thank you, Dr. Clifton. Thank you, Ms. Breland. Thank you, Christine. I just wanted to note that another advantage of this, if I have this right, Christine, is that right now sometimes developers challenge our SDC assessments, say if they're in transit-rich areas, saying that the ITE manual doesn't really properly calculate their impact. And if they can afford to do traffic studies, they almost always are successful in their challenges. If we have a methodology that's fair and based on the best science to begin with, then we can avoid those debates and avoid losing.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Do we have anyone sign up to speak on this item?
I do not have a sign-up sheet with you.
Okay. Anyone want to speak on this item? Then let's take action, please, on the resolution.
Novick?
Thank you very much. Aye.
I'm glad to be a leader in this as well as on the park system development charge with these. In both cases, they're much more sensible and cognitively understandable than the current methodology. So thank you. Aye.
Ish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Ailes?
Well, this is great work. And there was such a polite reference to the slow pace of change in the national manuals. brilliantly done. But it's the glacial might be, actually glaciers are moving faster now, unfortunately. So that's good work that we're actually influencing the national technical practice here in ways that Portland has done before. So thank you for great work. I also had the chance in my private sector career to work with Farron Peers as a partner, and they've been real progressive and effective consultants for Portland and other places where I work, like Salt Lake. So thank you for great work between the professional community and our own professionals in the city. This is the right way to go. Aye. Thank you very much.